Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 10. Book of Ezekiel and chapter 10. We want to read this evening verses 18 through 20 of this 10th chapter. Pay attention to it here. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the Lord, God of Israel, was over them above. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kibar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. This is the fourth point of this 10th chapter, and I've titled it "The Glory of God Removing from the Sanctuary." They had Judah, as well as Israel. Israel's already gone into captivity by this time, but Judah, Jerusalem, the ancients, the priests, the whole country had said that God didn't care, and that he had forsaken the earth. Remember that? Look with me back in chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 12. We read, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth." And then again in the 9th chapter, in verse 9, it's repeated, "Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness, for they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not." They thought the Lord didn't care any longer, and that he had forsaken the earth. And so they can just go on and do what they pleased to do. Sometimes we feel that way, act that way, don't we? In our actions. God doesn't see, God doesn't care, and he's forsaken me. But now, because of their evilness, because of their wickedness, because of them not recognizing God for who he was and worshiping idols, that which God had created, God is forsaking his sanctuary. Because they had greatly defiled it. God was not there in all of their worship. God wasn't in their worship. They were worshiping the creature and not the Creator. The glory of the Lord, remember, had been standing over the threshold. Our verse that we read this evening in verse 18 says it left the threshold. In verse 4 of this 10th chapter, it said, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Now that's when he was over the threshold yet. He hadn't left yet, but he was making signs of getting ready to leave by departing from the cherub and going to the over the threshold. Still manifesting his glory. It was from there that he had given orders to destroy the city. From over the threshold. We just read verse 4, so jump down to verse 6 now. And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. He commanded him to take fire. What was the fire for? For the destruction of the city. For the utter destruction. For the burning of the city. It is now that the glory of the Lord leaves this place. The threshold. And he ascends above the cherubims. In verse 18, we read, then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. He was above the cherubims. Notice, from our reading, notice that immediately the cherubim went up, as did the wheels, for the Spirit of the Lord was in them both. We've been emphasizing that all the way in the first chapter. We emphasized it when we studied the first chapter. And then when we come to this 10th chapter, we've emphasized it that the Spirit of the Lord was in them all. Verse 19, and let's read that again. The glory of God, verse 18, has gone up and left the threshold and stood over the cherubim. And verse 19, and the cherubims lifted up their wings. I mean, they responded immediately. The glory of God departed and went over the cherubims, and the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them. And every one stood in the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the Lord of Israel was over them above. You see, they all did. The glory of God did, the cherubim did, the wheels did. They all left their position and they went over to the door of the east gate. It was a picture, is getting we're out of here. Is what they're saying. Israel and Judah, the elders and the priests, had disobeyed God according to Ezekiel 8. And I want to read that again tonight. Pay attention again as we read Ezekiel, the 8th chapter. Don't go to do quite a bit of reading tonight. So follow, but pay attention and let it sink in. The reason why the glory of God is getting ready to depart is because His sanctuary, because His land, His city has been defiled. And He's not there in the hearts of the people any longer. And so He's getting ready to depart. Let's begin reading with verse 3 of chapter 8. And He put forth the form of a man. That is the Spirit. Remember, Ezekiel is caught by the Spirit of the Lord. In the Spirit. In His Spirit. And taken up from there. And it says, and He put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the vision of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy. Remember the image of jealousy? What was that? God had told Israel in the beginning, from the time that they had exited the land of Egypt and they had come to Mount Sinai, He had told them that He was a jealous God and that He would no other gods before me. And so this image is an idol that they had erected, and God calls it an image of jealousy, to provoke Him to jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there according to the vision that I had saw in the plain. Then said He unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north and beheld northward at the gate of the altar this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abomination that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. More great abominations. Not just this image of jealousy. There's more for you to see, Ezekiel. Remember, over and over again he states that here in this 8th chapter. Verse 7. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall, and when I had digged in the wall, behold a door. Remember, the hole in the wall is a peephole. They were covered over the door, and they were trying to conceal their evil and their wickedness that was going on behind closed doors. But God knew. God knew, and He's revealing it to His servant Ezekiel. Now verse 9. And He said unto me, Go in the door, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. See, Ezekiel, open the door and go in, because I want you to see those wicked abominations that they do. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. There's not a creature that God has created that was not behind that wall, behind that door, that they were worshiping. They were worshiping the fowls of the air, the fishes of the sea, and the creeping things upon the land. All of it. Well, we're going to see more that they were worshiping besides this. Verse 11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. Notice who they were. They were the leaders. They were the seasoned men, the old men. And they were leaders of the house of Israel and Judah. And they were there, the 70, the ruling 70. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. And every man had sent his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. A thick cloud. A thick cloud of incense went up. I mean, they were just smoking it up. More concealing, was it not? And being offered up to idols. To idols. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? I mean, they had created such a cloud of incense that it was dark in there. You know, it was kind of dark all day here. Cloudy. Threatening rain, and we didn't get much until just as I was coming over here, we got a little bit. But they created such a cloud with their incense that it was dark, and there was a purpose in it. What does John chapter 3 tell us? Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. That which they do is evil. It's wicked. It's not pleasing to God. Every man in the chambers of his imagery, for they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz, the supposed wife of a valiant prince who was supposed to be, they'd made a god when he died, when he was killed in battle. And Tammuz weeping and childless, and so they're weeping for Tammuz, this bride of this prince. It's idolatry. They had created an idol out of Tammuz's prince, and they created an idol out of Tammuz, and they're weeping for Tammuz. Wickedness, evil. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. There's more great abominations to see. You haven't seen it all yet, Ezekiel. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch of the altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. And their faces, notice their backs were toward the house of the Lord. And their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Oh, they weren't just worshiping every creature that God had created. They were worshiping the heavens as well that God had created. And who is doing the worshiping here of the sun and the moon and the stars? Why, it's the priest. These 25 men were supposedly priests. And they were worshiping the stars of heaven, the sun, the moon. Then he said unto me, "Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? Is it a light thing? Is it just a little thing? Is it a very little thing?" To provoke the Lord to jealousy? By giving the worship that is due to Him to another? That's what he says here. "For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose." Remember the branch to the nose? They snubbed their nose at God. That's what God's saying. They've snubbed their nose at me. They've snorted at me. They've snubbed me. "Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them." They had dishonored God and His sanctuary. And now the glory of God is departing. The place that God dwelt, and the children of Israel and Judah were to know that the presence of God was with them, and they could feel His presence being with them. He's withdrawing from them. But note, and observe how readily all the forces of creation obey Him. Readily, immediately. This was illustrated by in the cherubim and the wheels. Remember the faces of the wheels? The four faces? As significant of all of God's creation? And the cherubim? The heavenly host? Notice the Spirit of God, the glory of God moved, and they moved with Him. They didn't tarry back here while the Spirit of God went over here. No, the Spirit of God went, they went. They obeyed Him immediately. Is not that a comfort? Is not this a comfort to those who would seek to do all His will? To know that all of God's creation obeys Him. You know what? And the righteous obey Him too. The righteous obey Him too. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, and another lengthy reading. But I think here in this psalm we can see depicted everything that we've talked about. We can see here depicted in this psalm, we can see the righteous, we can see basically all of God's creation praising Him and obedience to Him and worshiping Him. You see, notice as we read and pay attention. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." The psalmist is personal here. He's speaking himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. For it is holy. Remember Jesus teaching us to pray? When thou prayest, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy. It is set apart. I'm to set it apart. Help me to set it apart in my heart. Help me to make it holy in me. We'll continue to read in this psalm, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget not all that He has recompensed to me, all that He has given to me, all that His providence to me. Isn't that what the cherubims and the wheels and the faces all depicted? It depicted the providence of God. Yes, we delight in the providence of God and in His love, His grace, His mercy, and all the benefits thereof. Thank God we'll be spared from the providence of His wrath. Won't be unto destruction. For His praise, for His glory. So, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His good benefits to you. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You take, we've been following Jesus in the book of Matthew, and we see that He's healed all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. And every one of those sicknesses and diseases are typify the sinner, the one without Christ, and the state and condition that he's in, and the putrefying state and condition, and the helplessness and hopelessness of his state. Forget not. He's forgiven you all your trespasses, and he's healed all your diseases. Well, what happened to my page flipped here? Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, as that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. You see. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. These people that we're reading about in the book of Ezekiel, he had made known all his ways unto them. And we see what they did with that in the 8th chapter. They had forsaken God. They had forgotten all his ways and all the things and all his benefits to them. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. We've studied the long-suffering of God with the children of Israel in this study of the book of Ezekiel. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Oh, his long-suffering won't go on forever. Be assured of that. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. I thought about that today. I just thought, my goodness, I thought, high above the heaven. I thought, you remove all that God has created here. The heavens and the earth. And what do you have? What do you have? You have God. You have God, that's it. You know, we've got space stations up there. We go over there to that. They're talking about regular trips for you, Brother Ron, if you want to go to Mars. But you get out beyond that. You get out beyond on the furthest planet that they know of, the furthest star that they know of. What's there? God. And the skeptic says, I don't see Him. Ain't nothing out there. I don't see Him. Where's God? Well, He's there. He's there. How do I know He's there? Because He did a work on me. He provides for me. He takes care of me. He blesses me. I know. Think back in my experience as an unsaved man. The times that I tried to change my life and tried to reform my life. Couldn't do it. But God can. God can. Praise Him. He did. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. You see, we're dust. That's what we came from. And that's what we'll go back to. This body we'll go back to. But you know what? I know that one day He's gonna bring all those dust particles back together. And it's going to be a new body. No sin. No mortality in that new body. It'll be immortal. Praise God for that. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourisheth. Yeah. Well, I feel like my flourishing days are past, but I still flourish, and I haven't completely dwindled away yet. We're still flourishing until we are no more. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. There's the whole crutch of it, brothers and sisters. The whole crutch of it. To such as keep His covenant and to those that remember His commandments to do them. Israel, Judah did not. They did not. They did not. Remember to keep His commandments and to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. All of it. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All God's creation obeys Him, is obedient to His every move, to His every command. And the righteous rejoice. The righteous are obedient to do His commandments. And His commandments, as we've been learning, are not grievous. They are not burdensome. But it's a delight. It's a delight to do the word and will of God Almighty. Oh, that Israel and Judah had known. But there's a remnant. There's a remnant. We get into the 11th chapter, and Ezekiel, when the judgment of God becomes very real, one dies, one of the leaders of their rebellion and insurrection dies, as Ezekiel is prophesying. Ezekiel falls on his face again in supplication. Wilt thou destroy even the remnant of Israel? That's in verse 13 of the 11th chapter. And then 14th chapter, 14th verse, God gives his answer. No, the remnant. The remnant are not going to perish. The remnant are not going to be destroyed. One day we know the remnant are going to be saved.